Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in the position that almost everything has been said, but not by anybody, by everybody. So I want to concentrate on some more quantitative aspects of the problem of the transit pipelines and pipeline systems of Russia going to Europe. Wait a moment. Oh, nothing is... This one. Okay. There you have a broad picture of the whole pipeline system starting in Western Siberia and in Central Asia and going to the West. The oldest system has been the central system going from Siberia and the center of Russia through Ukraine and Hungary and Slovakia to Austria and Germany. The map here is not quite correct, but in general the picture is true. This pipeline system has been the main system for deliveries of gas from the Soviet Union to its satellite states, and has remained in place till now, and is now serving Central and Western Europe. Then afterwards, in the 90s, two other pipeline systems have been built. One is northern of the central system, the pipeline going to Poland and Belarus, to Germany. The other is the Blue Stream pipeline going from southern Russia through Black Sea to Turkey. Those two pipelines or pipeline systems had the same aim as the pipelines we are speaking now about, new ones. They are giving an alternative way for Russian gas to the way to the Ukraine, because Gazprom on the Russian side had the plan to build such alternatives to prevent a one-sided dependence from one transit country. And then we come to the new pipelines which are in the planning stage, and the one is the Nord Stream pipeline, the other is the South Stream pipeline, and they're following this line of circumventing transit states. We can have a closer look to the quantity aspects of those problems. The whole system of pipelines going through Ukraine to Western countries consists of a big system going to Slovakia and Germany, and others to Hungary, Romania, Moldova. Altogether, they comprise a capacity of about 160 to 170 billion cubic meters. This alone would be enough for the whole gas export from Russia to Europe for present and the years to come. But this is not a problem for Gazprom. The capacities are there, but in a strategic sense, this one-sided dependence on Ukraine contradicts the general strategy of Gazprom or the Russian side. So the Belarus-Poland pipeline was the first with a capacity of 23 to 33 billion cubic meters to solve this problem, and but it made the life better for Gazprom, but only in a certain sense. It circumvented only Ukraine, but not Belarus. So the problem with the transit pipelines is till now is that Gazprom has a very small leverage on those transit countries. If it comes to negotiations about prices, about transit fees, and the question of the overtaking of pipeline system in those countries itself. The idea of building of alternative pipelines or direct pipelines is a very logical step in the sense of the Gazprom strategy. There's a small direct pipeline going to Finland, and there's an existing pipeline going to Turkey, which can be expanded. Then comes the idea of the Nord Stream pipeline and the South Stream pipeline, which are a consequence of this idea of circumventing transit states. In my opinion, it's a very sound strategy, and my thesis is that a Western company working in Russia would follow the same strategy as Gazprom does now. If you add all capacities of the pipeline system originating in Russia and going to Europe, you come to about 200 billion cubic meters now, and an expansion to more than 300 billion cubic meters in the future. This has, first of all, technical reasons. You need a kind of excess capacity because gas amounts and are varying in the between winter and summer times. So you need excess capacity in winter. And then there are the strategic aspects. Mr. Debski and Kaczmierski told us. I think it's the strategic aspects are, in my opinion, are understandable, are rational, and are a sound strategy in the eyes of a big company. I think that the political ramifications and aspects, you have to... should not play the first role in the whole discussion. On Nord Stream, I think Mr. Müller will see all what is necessary, and I will not touch this point more. Only one word from my side. Nord Stream will become the best conceived and planned pipeline in the world. So some of the fears of the countries surrounding the Baltic Sea are exaggerated, in my opinion. Then the question of alternatives of Europe of gas imports from the east. It is concentrating on the idea of the Nabucco pipeline as an alternative to import from Russia, and the idea is to directly import gas from Central Asian states, from Iran, maybe Iraq, and send it through Turkey to Balkans and further on to Europe. The problems are manifold. The biggest problem is the existence of the supply capacity. As has been said before, the reserves and resources of Turkmenistan are unknown, and Turkmenistan should be the main supplier of gas from Central Asia to Europe. Reserves are unknown, and secondly, most of Turkmen gas will be sent to Russia and then further on to Ukraine and Belarus, not to Western Europe. And if we as European countries are interested that Ukraine and maybe Belarus get more or less cheap Turkmen gas, then the question arises, if we have the aim to buy all the Turkmen gas or quantities of Turkmen gas for ourselves, what is left for those countries? This question should be answered too. Another aspect, the main rival for Turkmen gas after Russia besides Russia is China, not Europe. China is building a pipeline from Turkmenistan through Kazakhstan to China, and another pipeline from gas pipeline from Kazakhstan to China too. And I suppose that China will become the main rival in the gas in gas trade in Central Asia to Russia in the years to come, and not Europe. Europe will play a very minor role. Then a last word, the capacities are relatively minor. The capacity of Nabucco will become about 30, maybe more, billion cubic meters. This will be, this will compass about 5 to a maximal, at maximum 10% of European gas imports. So you couldn't speak of a real big alternative to Russian or Algerian gas. It will all the time play a very minor role, this gas from Central Asia. Then the last word, the problems or the possibilities of Russia to diversify its gas export to the east. As it is shown, and as Mr. Gutmirsky has told us already, the possibilities are very, very limited. Most of gas Russia will export to China or to countries like Korea and Japan will come from Eastern Siberia, Sakhalin. There's a small possibility of building a pipeline from Western Siberia to China, the so-called Altai pipeline, but these plans are under discussion. Its rentability is very, very questionable. The general picture is that the Russian pipeline system is concentrated in the West, and it's going to the West, and it will remain like this for the years to come, the decades to come. The possibilities of building big pipelines to the East is very, very limited, not only because the markets aren't there, but because the investments would be so huge that it makes no sense for Gazprom or other Russian companies to build a new pipeline system with a big capacity and not to use the existing pipeline system which has been built in Soviet times and which is going to the West. So with this, I want to end my presentation. Thank you.